38 Songwriters Festival is in motion this weekend, and our good friend Drew Tillman is there. So we're going to talk to Drew a little bit about his appearance there. And Sean Wooden, the director for Southern Scholarship Foundation, is with me in the second hour talking about how they're helping needy college students. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Once again, my friend, we are bringing you all that Tallahassee is talking about this week to the best of our knowledge. Okay, well, we don't have all of that, but we do have some of what Tallahassee is talking about. Southern Scholarship Foundation being among those conversations because they do such a great job in trying to help college kids find the opportunities that otherwise elude them, particularly by providing housing and other aid that will assist them as they go through their college career. It's a great organization and remarkably unduplicated. It really defies logic when you think about it, because this one little nonprofit does so much good for so many and has for so many years. And you just ask yourself, well, why? I mean, why don't we replicate this in some fashion? Well, we're going to find out about that. Sean Wooden is their director over there. He's been at it for some time, and we need to find out from him exactly what the whole story is. You're going to learn about their work over the many years that they've been in operation. He's basically their president and CEO of this remarkable program, and we have one of the residents there who's also a, I guess they call her a house manager, one of many, Tanasia Higdon, is going to be with us. And in that same conversation, that all comes up in the second hour. So you want to stay with me on that. Meanwhile, our good buddy Drew Tillman, known to many for his musical gifts and talents and all the work he's done in years past with his group 911. Yeah. Long-time musician in the Tallahassee area, has toured about the country. And these days, tries to stay a little closer to home. He's got a couple of teenage kids, and he and his wife, Amelia, they do a good job of keeping the home fires lit, we'd say. And in doing so, they find themselves challenged, perhaps, with doing all that parents and husband and wife are supposed to do for each other, try to do for each other. And then dealing with Drew's career as a musician and songwriter. On this occasion, it happens that he's performing in Destin over there, or Seaside, the 30A Songwriters Festival going on. And wow, what an amazing event that is in and of itself. We're going to learn about the festival, its history. But this will be now the sixth appearance that Drew has made. at an invitation-only sort of thing, right? Along with some of the country's best musicians, songwriters. So you got to be invited to this thing, and this is now going to be his sixth appearance. So we're excited for Drew, and we're going to learn about what's been going on with him lately. He's got a song for us. That all happens here in the first hour. As you know, we are fond of helping Tallahassee tell its story. It's kind of our whole mantra, I guess, our missions, our manifesto, I think is a better word. Helping Tallahassee better know itself for who we really are. And of course, that includes the business community. So we take it upon ourselves to bring you the business spotlight from time to time. And this week, I've got Mike Goldstein, who is the proprietor for Capital City Pedicabs. Neat little thing. This entrepreneurial spirit alive and well in Tallahassee. And Capital City Pedicabs, good example of that. Beloved by many, Mike Goldstein, he's the guy. And what a great concept, and how fitting for this town to have this unique means of transportation that has a kind of touristy feel to it, right? Not a cable car, not a horse and carriage, but a pedicab that will take you from here to there under human pedal power. And if you've never seen one of these units, they're pretty nifty. Well, Mike has been at the helm since their inception. He and his dad, Ron, got this thing started some years ago, doing well with it. So we'll learn about Capital City Pedicabs in our business spotlight here momentarily. A couple of announcements for you. By the way, happy Martin Luther King Day. And in that regard, I want to make sure you know about Leon County closures in regard to or in observance of Martin Luther King Day. And let's see. So as of this coming Monday, the 21st, all Leon County offices, libraries, community centers, animal control, solid waste, rural waste, hazardous waste center, all of that will be closed. Now, remaining will be Leon County parks and recreation facilities. That'll be open, parks and boat landings. As to the library, more specifically, they're going to close early this afternoon at 4, and then they'll close early again tomorrow at 6 on Sunday. They're closed all day on Monday, and then they'll reopen on Tuesday at their normal operating hours. That's the library. Okay. Now, as to the waste centers, the Woodville, Fort Bregan, and Miccosukee Rural Waste Service Centers will close at 5 on Sunday, the 20th. All Leon County Solid Waste and Rural Waste Services and the Household Hazardous Waste Center, it's not easy to say, will resume normal operating hours on Tuesday. Now, if you have an animal-related emergency, this is important stuff, because you know your dog's going to have some kind of a episode, right? On the weekend when animal control is closed. Yeah. Well, anyway, in the event of an animal-related emergency, service is available by calling the Consolidated Dispatch Agency. So let me write this down. That's a local area code, 850-606-5800. Okay, so that's the Consolidated Dispatch Agency, 606-5800. Leon County Animal Control encourages residents to use that number only to report dangerous or aggressive dogs or a sick or injured domestic animal. So if your dog is really, really hurting, or if there's a dog in the neighborhood that looks really scary, okay, well, then you need to call this number, 606-5800. Otherwise, just relax. We'll deal with it after the holiday. If it's an injured wildlife, that is an animal that is wild, and a squirrel falls out of its nest or whatever, that call can be forwarded to the St. Francis Wildlife Association, and their number is 627-4151. Okay, I think I've done my part in terms of closings and shelter for needy animals and all that sort of thing. Remember that you can hear all of Tallahassee Talks online at any time. If you go to the website, TallahasseeTalks.com, good thing to do there is subscribe to the podcast. There's about five or six different services now that are carrying our podcast. TuneIn is one of them. Then there's Podbean and Podcast Addict and, oh man. So if you like podcasting, that's a good way to do this. Or you can always listen online if you go to our archive there on the website, and we have it there for you as a permanent link. Just do a search on the topic or the guest, bring it right up there for you. Stay with me. I got Mike Goldstein standing by. He's in our business spotlight. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Mardi Gras is March 5th, and Tasty Pastry Bakery is busy baking up their famous New Orleans king cakes just for you. This traditional cake is a coffee cake formed in an oval ring and decorated with brightly colored sugar, purple, green, and gold, to signify justice, faith, and wealth. Baked into each cake, a tiny plastic infant signifies Christ the King. When the cake is sliced, whoever gets the plastic infant in their piece of cake is named King for a day and is supposed to bring a king cake next year. Choose from an assortment of fillings: apple, cherry, blueberry, pineapple, raspberry, strawberry, or cream cheese. Get yours today. Tasty Pastry Bakery in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Online at TastyPastryBakery.com.
Granny would approve. Your good old-fashioned bakery. Remember Tasty Pastry.
Call 893-3752.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee is the kind of place you have to just get down to the nitty-gritty. You have to tour around a bit to get to know how we really do things here, how things roll, we'd like to say. Well, one of those things that makes it possible for us to keep rolling has been in business now for the last 6 years. None other than Capital City Pedicabs. I have with me here in the business spotlight today, who is, in fact, referred to as the face of Capital City Pedicabs, Mike Goldstein. How are you, Mike?
Good, how are you?
Good to have you with us.
I appreciate you having me.
Glad to have the opportunity to dig in a little bit here with you on this rather remarkable business. I remember when you and your dad first got going with this thing, and it was a little bit of a roll of the dice to see how this would go, right?
Yeah, we're still at it, so I guess the roll worked out.
The odds were in your favor, I think, because Tallahassee has, as I mentioned, so many places that are worth seeing, and by getting this in front of folks, it gives them a chance to go from here to there in a pretty cool way. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Capital City Pedicabs, well, the name implies that if you are about the town and Capital City Pedicabs is anywhere near you, you can hop on one of their pedaled cabs, and this will put you in the right spot at the right time. Tell us a little bit about the motivation. Where did this all come from, do you think?
Originally, my dad started it from an idea in a trip in New York to kind of take our little take on it from what we've seen.
Yeah.
Just kind of grown since then and evolved on its own. It's really cool to see the whole dream come to life and come to fruition at that point.
Yeah, it's become a fixture, I think, for a lot of folks. And, you know, a lot of communities like ours have their kind of, I don't know, characteristic mode of transportation that sort of helps define them, whether it's cable cars, right, or maybe a horse-drawn carriage in Central Park. Here we have pedicabs.
Yeah, it's kind of been a nice journey so far to see the evolution from day one to now, and
just
kind of see how it's rolling along.
The thing that I've noticed too is that you guys have really adjusted the business, right?
We've adapted it to kind of feel the market and see what it dictates at the time. So it's been more of event driven these days, whereas we used to just go out and kind of scope it,
just kind of whatever.
Yeah,
right. And you do in that regard, you do wedding packages, which I think is a kind of cool thing.
Yeah, we've done a lot of weddings and birthdays over the years, so it's kind of a little something different. We've done pretty much all around town for those kind of things as well, so it's kind of cool to kind of add that to what they wouldn't normally expect to have.
And being that you are a native of this here fine Tally Town. I suppose you know a lot about the terrain, a lot about the community. That
yeah, hills are fun, empty. Let's just say that.
Right. I remember some of the stories trying to get up College Avenue, right? You know, downtown.
That was kind of trial and error at that point, yeah. So we've kind of fine-tuned it since then.
Especially a guy like my size jumps in the back of the cab there, and you're like, okay, here we go. And the poor driver, you know, he's having a heart attack trying to get up the hill. So you've worked out some of those things.
Yep.
And do you then have certain parts of town that you're more prominent?
So our main radius is like downtown, Gain Street. Railroad Square, Cascades. Our bread and butter during the week is FSU campus. So we actually have some good stuff cooking with them. And so it's just really cool to kind of focus on where the action is.
I would imagine football games are probably a great opportunity for you guys, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's our football's a busy time. Then we have session coming up in the spring.
Neat.
We'll sprinkle in some baseball and basketball in between, and it's
all year round.
Yep.
There you go. So, Capital City Pedicabs, folks, if you're wanting to learn more about this opportunity, not only for yourself and your family, but, you know, if you got friends coming in from out of town, you want to have this on your list because it's just a great thing to do. It's a great way to see your way around, do some sightseeing, and all of these guys and gals that do this are very capable people, by the way, too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, we make sure they're not ready. We get them out when they're ready. There's no question about getting them out.
Yes.
Just kind of not get out there.
So that way you can be assured that you're going to have a great ride, and you're going to find out that a lot of these drivers, too, are pretty knowledgeable about the terrain.
They have to be these days. Otherwise, it's just kind of riding around at that point.
Right. So they're pointing out certain things about the sights and sounds of Tallahassee. Let's get to the website here. It's capitalcitypedicabs.com. So if you're looking for more information, that's a great way to go. What do you like most about it, personally?
It's been the best weight loss treatment I can ever recommend to anyone. Honestly, that's probably one of the biggest perks. But
you're in great shape, Mike. I have to say.
that's been one of the great things. But you never know who's going to hop in and where you're going to go. So it's really part of just getting out there and making it happen.
Indeed. What kind of feedback do you get from locals? Do people really like what you're doing?
Yeah, it's been mostly positive. We get a lot of repeat customers, too. So
Neat. It's
nice to kind of formulate those relationships over the years and
meet
some who's who of Tallahassee.
And I know that you personally are plugged into a lot of different organizations, particularly Chamber of Commerce. Yep. I always see you out there at all those events.
Yep.
And I think the folks with the Chamber have been really encouraging, supportive too, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been very collaborative over the years, and nice to have that cohesiveness to just work with each other. And
yeah,
it's really cool to have that
very
out there.
Good. When you think about that, and again, a native of Tallahassee, you've been around here your whole life. A lot of change, a lot of expansion.
Oh yeah.
What do you like most about where we're headed? What do you think about Tallahassee and the changes that have been made? I mean, we've got all kinds of new things going on.
It's great to see the developments on the horizon, but also the business opportunities to come with it.
Yeah. People have really opened their doors to considering alternative business. And here's a good example of this. Capital City Pedicabs, our guest today in the Business Spotlight, Mike Goldenstein and company. If we were to book you for an event, we have to get out there in advance pretty well. How far in advance do we need to notify you?
We've done stuff within a day.
Really?
And it depends on availability, but we can make it happen.
You certainly
quick.
Don't want to take chances.
Right.
But okay, well, that's good to know. You're quick on the uptake.
You have to be these days.
Yeah, imagine. Do you find yourself looking forward to some other expansion? I know there's the idea of doing like a kind of the mega cabs, you know, and
we've tried to get that going. It just seems like it's not the right time.
Yeah. So there's some things that can happen that may happen in the future.
Sure. Right? There's always possibilities.
Right. If you think about where you want the business to go, look over the next, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yep.
Would that be part of that future, or you just want to get more of the units that you have now?
The end game is to have the cabs out in full force as much as we can. So that's the idea. Is we have 7 cabs. We've always had 7.
Yeah.
So if they're just hanging out, they're not really helping.
They're not making it work.
Yeah. So
maybe cover the terrain a little bit further.
Yep.
Right. All right. Well, thanks so much for being our guest today. It's a pleasure. This is one of the reasons why we love doing this, because we get to learn more about these business ideas, and the things that you and your dad have done with this is really, really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Capital City Pedicabs is the business. You can find them online, capitalcitypedicabs.com. Our guest today, Mike Goldstein.
Saturday, January 26th at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, the internationally acclaimed Tallahassee Community Chorus presents Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org. Tallahassee Community Chorus Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education and featuring the choirs of Lawton Childs, Leon, Lincoln, and West Orange High Schools, and Bach Middle School of the Arts. Tallahassee Community Chorus, Saturday, January 26th, 7:30 p.m. at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, Florida State University. Thrill to the inspiring songs and combined voices of six choirs and orchestra, featuring the performance of Howard Hanson's Song of Democracy. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Drew Tillman is known for his soulful rock and that hint of blues that best describes the music of this singer-songwriter. Beloved among all of us here in the Tally Town that we've been following for many years, Drew Tillman is our guest. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
A pleasure. Been a while since we had you back in here.
It sure has.
You've been out and about. You're like Puss in Boots, man. You've been off to see the king. And now we have news of this 10th anniversary, 30A Songwriters Festival. And guess what, boys and girls? Yes, Uncle Drew is back on the lineup with an amazing number of artists. I think you told me 150
somewhere around there,
singers and songwriters.
And 30 venues right along the 30A Songwriters Festival
this is
corridor.
This is a huge, huge thing. Yeah. And a lot of you who have made your way over there over the years know what I'm talking about. So we decided to drag Drew in here before he goes off to Destin, I guess. Isn't that where it is?
It is.
And
it is.
Tell us
some
Seaside. Yeah, yeah, it's all that.
Yeah.
All right, so it all kicks off when? Friday, January 18th, right?
Through Sunday.
So it's a 3-day. What do you expect? What are you going to...
I pray Friday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
And you just, it's unbelievable how people come. I've had numerous, and I mean numerous, people write to me and saying, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Where are you playing?
Well, this
you
isn't
playing?
Your first showing. You've been, you've played this festival, what, five times?
This will be my sixth.
Sixth performance.
Yeah.
And this is by invitation.
It is. You submit your CD and you wait to hear from the producers of the show. And when they choose you, it's quite an honor. You're competing, I guess, against the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, in case people haven't recognized the caliber of the folks that are performing right along with Drew, Amelia Spicer, Amanda Shires, A.J. Gent, Alex Guthrie. Who else?
Steve Earle.
Yeah.
Roseanne Cash.
Remarkable.
Some artists bring their full bands because they're recording artists as well as writers.
Right.
But you get to hear people like Steve Earle play just an acoustic guitar and sing.
Yeah.
You can't hide. You can't hide anywhere behind your band.
Yeah.
You're out there and
naked, so to speak.
I feel really
exposed.
At home.
Do you?
There?
Yeah.
I do, and I'm able to express myself, because when I go to do other gigs, other festivals, it's a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different. These, you can try new things, you can interact with the audience, you can talk about your songs.
Yep.
And talk about the impact it had on you.
Right.
and why you wrote the song,
yep.
Things behind the song that no one would know. And then you get feedback from industry kingmakers,
yeah,
and they'll say to you, you know, what are you?
Well, here again, I mean, it's the kind of audience, the kind of festival that says, hey, we are here for the music. We are here for these artists,
exactly,
and we want to know as much as we can get known in 3 days worth of time. What's going on with you, man? We haven't talked much, and you've been working hard and making
a lot of things for the Lincoln High School band.
Really?
Yes, I've recorded them, and we're just about finished. I'll be finished this afternoon with the final mixes and hand it to the director and see if he likes what I did.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll put it out. That band, my son plays in the band. He's in. He's on the percussion line. He plays snare. And then Amarina plays trumpet in the band. So they are, last year, the percussion section won everything at the Emerald Coast competition. They beat the state champions and the runner-up in that category of percussion. And the judges are, let's put it this way, they're hard.
Yeah.
They're really hard. They do not pull punches. They said, well, the stuff you were playing was so complicated that I had to overlook what few mistakes you made.
Wow.
Because you were far and above more complicated than anyone
Lincoln
else.
Lincoln High School, doing it again.
And this year, they scored the highest you can score.
How very cool.
In competition.
You've got some new tunes, and I know you've brought with you your acts, and you're going to perform for us here on the show.
Right. This is a tune called Love is Blind.
Yeah.
And it's about struggling with not just love for another person, but love for yourself, and trying to live up to the voices inside your head, which make you say, oh, well, you know, you're good is what it should be, and yet sometimes your good is not your God's good. Good sometimes is better, and sometimes falling down is his will.
Wow.
Or he lets it happen. I don't think it's his will, but he lets it happen.
Let's take a listen. Love is Blind, Drew Tillman in the house, folks. Here we go.
Tight, I'm turning the wheel. I know it was real.
feeling so dirty, leaning so early. You mean talk the truth, hang on to you. When love is dying, love is lying. Love is lying, love is lying. I'm turning the wheel, I know it was real. Yawning so dirty, leaning so early. Mean talk the truth, hang on to you. When love is dying, love is dying. When love is dying, love is dying.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. childcare.fsu.edu, 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Drew Tillman. He's got this 38 Songwriters Festival in hand. Folks, he is the real deal. And if you've never had a chance to hear Drew Tillman, well, you just got to hear this Love is Blind, his, one of his latest. Are you still touring at all?
All the time.
Yeah?
All the time.
Out there on the road.
And
any talk of a 911 reunion again, or is that?
We are. We did one last year.
Yeah.
In August.
Right.
At the Legion Hall. And we're
That's
really
become
well.
Kind of a thing, hasn't it?
It's amazing. We were traveling to New York, and I'm on the plane, and this stewardess came up, and she kneels down. I thought I was in trouble. I thought
Uh-oh.
I did something wrong.
Yeah, right.
What did I do?
Honest.
And she goes, "You're Drew Tillman, aren't you? You play in 911, right?"
Oh, my.
And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I listen to you all the time. I have your CD."
Cool.
I never thought I would see you again. Are you still playing? Are you still doing
cool
that? And I
that?
Said, "Yes."
Yeah,
she travels all over.
Look at
course.
That.
Yeah,
and we know, fun. Folks, we've got Drew's music on Moose Magnificat. So if you've never gotten to hear him any other way, hopefully you have. Moose, we carry all your tunes up there. So really, you have no excuse. I mean, you just need to be a Drew Tillman fan in one shape, one way or another, one form or another. If you're out and about and you can get over to Destin this weekend, man, see if you can make that happen. Drew, you have been in this business a long time.
Yeah.
And you've gone through all the ups and downs that just come with any kind of career, but especially in music. We've talked about this before, how much the creative process then gets influenced by the demands of the business. And I guess you have to make a kind of resolution with yourself. I'm going to write the music I want to write, or I'm going to write it for somebody else, either a
just recently,
record company or somebody. Yeah,
yeah, just recently. Original music has given me more confidence to disappear in the music so that hopefully it's more effective to the audience. I can't tell you how many times where I try to please the audience with a song that I think that they know, and then the song, it does okay, and then I say, okay, well, I'll just play an original music, original song, and then the audience lights up. I think it's more, for me, it's the honesty and the drive of the song. I can disappear in the song. Not that I can't disappear in other songs. That's how I learned to write. But the idea that I can paint a picture in the moment of the song that I wrote, I could have written it a year ago. I could have written it. So I find lately I'm much more effective when I be honest and do my own music. It's scary. Sure. It's always been scary because you kind of feel like you're hanging out there with your face painted red, you know, and a dunce hat on top of your head. But that's just confidence, and I'm learning a lot from my children of how to be more confident. You know, they'll ask me questions, you know, how do you do this? And I'll say, well, there's a disconnect between your fear of doing something and your drive to practice. To practice what you're trying to learn, whether it's technique or writing a song. So when you find yourself reluctant, oh, I'm going to sit down and write a song, it's the fear in the background. Like, what have I ever gotten from it? Everything.
This song that we just got to hear in the first portion of this conversation, this Love is Blind idea, seems to hook onto that, right? Because the love that you have for life, for music, for people, for God, it all kind of comes together in that moment when you're either writing the song or you're performing the song.
Yeah, there's a line in there, I can't even count the times. I never lived up to them. The voices inside my head, they were thinking, and I was sinking. But the time wasn't right. The walls closed up tight. I keep turning the wheel. I know it was real. So young and so dirty, so mean and so early. You lean toward the truth. Hang on to your youth. Love is blind. So, you know, it's, you don't always see the fear. You don't always see
what it is that may be trying to hold you back. But you go with that A voice, that first inclination.
And your motivation comes from, like, when I get on stage now, the confidence comes with time that I've played, but also knowing that this is I'm writing, it's honest, it's up to the audience to know or to think, and hopefully I'll present it in a way that they can understand, and it's all about the song.
We've talked about this before too, the local venues that have seemed to open up a bit more to original music, less interested in cover songs. So there's been a bit of shifting there.
It's still cover music, and I think the audience deserves cover music also. But they also, I think they long for new material.
I'm getting that too, and I think there's a kind of generational shift. I think for guys like me, you know, we love it when you do some tune that we grew up with, Eagles or whoever, but I think there are those people who are as eager to find out what is fresh, and especially what it is that Tallahassee is bringing to the conversation.
Oh yeah.
And we got a boatload of musicians we continue to add to our radio station. yeah. Mus Magnificat. And that whole effort is devoted to showcasing local musicians playing original songs.
There's so many people that come up to me and say, I'm tired of the commercial radio that is going on right now, corporate driven.
Right.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
So they come out and see me play and they want something different. I get that a lot.
Now, this song that we got to hear today, is that available on
CD?
Wow.
It's not out yet.
Folks, you got a real treat here with this guy. He gave you a backstage sneak peek with this new song. That's very kind of you. Love is Blind is the tune. And our guest, Drew Tillman, he's heading over to, well, you know, he's got work to do. Let's just put it that way. He's heading over to Destin. This 38 Songwriters Festival running Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 18th through the 20th. Man, do whatever you have to do. You can get over there and enjoy
it. Just want to say thank you, Russell Carter, the producer of the show. For believing in music believing in the writers that are there. And thank you.
Sounds like a great idea. Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up. We were going to let Drew Tillman hit the road. Yeah. Drew, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
It's been
God
good
bless.
Once again. Folks, we got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks, your favorite radio show, along with about 20 or 30,000 other folks, we guess, around the week. We'll join in on this ongoing conversation. Next month, we begin our eighth season. Carl, did you know this? Carl knew this. He's counting the days. Season number 8 begins in February. For us, we started back in 2011. And these days, we're on two radio stations. Mus Magnificat, which is an online station of our own creation. Find us at moosemagnificat.com. That's the station that plays all local musicians playing their original songs. Unduplicated, it is. Great little radio station. If you want to hear people like Drew Tillman, that was with us in the first hour, all of Drew's music is up there. And who else do we have? My goodness, everybody from New 76ers to Danny Bedrosian. Or as he likes to say, Petrosian. He's Armenian. So you had Danny, and then you got people like Sarah Mack and Taller Trees. I mean, it goes up one side and down the other in terms of formats, or I should say genres and styles. Bell and the Band is another good example. A lot of country music, a lot of jazz, Scotty Barnhart. And you got all the blues musicians. Yeah, Jerry Thigpen Trio and Brett Wellman and his Stone Cold Blues Band. And how about Randall Webster, Big Daddy and the Red Hot Javas? Anyway, it's all there, moosemagnificat.com. You can actually help support the station. Did you know that? If you go to the website and there's a join button, yeah, you could pledge $5 a month or $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever you want to do, become our official member of Mus Magnificat, and we'll start sending you a newsletter, and you can buy nifty merchandise and, you know, t-shirts and mugs and key tags and all that kind of stuff. Good thing to do. The sound of Tallahassee is alive and well at moosemagnificat.com. Started to say we're also on Real Talk FM 93.3 in Tallahassee. They're awesome. And that's another good way to listen in. If you like terrestrial broadcasting, there you go. 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, carrying the show for you. We do a repeat tonight at 9:30 on Saturdays and Wednesdays at 5:30. So that's all good on Moose. So it's an opportunity for us to bring together folks who then have helped us better showcase who we really are, I guess is the way I like to think of it. It's the real story, you know, and it's a composite story, right? As it should be. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces. And over the now 8 years or seven years that we've been doing this, thousands of conversations. Greg Bowinger, the director at MagLab, First Lady Ann Scott, Eric Barron, former FSU president, Ernie Sims, former FSU football player and NFL football player, Dave Gussack, who's professor of education over there in art therapy, has written several books. Man, award-winning authors, Grammy-winning artists, that is, musicians. How about all of those people in community service, public service? We try to bring them to you in such a fashion that you and I begin to get a better sense of this reality, this composite reality, the collective that we are as a community, and how we can better care for each other, the things that we can invest ourselves in. There's been a lot of talk lately, and I'd say over the last maybe 2 years, 3 years, about the new Tallahassee. And our good friends over at the Tallahassee Democrat, the editorial board, admonishing us, time to turn the page, time to start looking at how we can do things a bit differently. Greater visibility or transparency, accountability, yep. And I'm still on my soapbox. I think that part of that conversation has to focus on a collaborative, sharing sort of attitude about business and association, the organizations that cooperate and encourage one another to do better. You know, we're a small town, no argument there. Somebody said we're a small town with a lot of people in it. A lot of associations and all of these nonprofit associations that compete heavily, whether it's in social services or arts and entertainment, education, yeah, everybody bidding for that same dollar. Next week we're going to have Melanie Mays and Randy Nicholas with us, and both of them talking about the work that they do respectively in their organizations. Of course, Randy Nicholas, longtime director over there at 211 Big Bend. You all know Randy. Many of you do. 34 years he's been doing that. Remarkable. And equally, Melanie Mays heads up the artist series, has been an award-winning actress and producer, director, choreographer, done a lot of work over there at the Monticello Opera House in Monticello. Wow. And as a nonprofit, the Artist Series brings chamber music. Some of the best talent in the world shows up in Tallahassee because of the Artist Series and the work that Melanie is doing with her board to make that happen. But if you talk to them, all of them, it's a tough row to hoe. Thankfully, there are organizations out there, and I think 211 is an example. The Artist Series is an example. That know that collectively we have to share resources, information, opportunities. We have to collaborate more than we compete with each other. And so I think we are coming away from this kind of turfdom that says, this is mine, you go find your own kind of attitude. That's a plantation thinking that goes back, 150 years, perhaps, or longer. And high time that we rid ourselves of that way of doing business. You know, people talk about resources being siloed and information siloed, even talent, or people participating in one organization but not another. You know, it's bothered me for many years that if you're a nonprofit and you go to a local broadcaster, TV, radio, whatever, and you ask for their help, and you say, look, would you be willing to advertise our fundraiser for this nonprofit? Well, they'll do so, but they'll have you sign an agreement that says you're not allowed to involve any other competing broadcaster in that effort. So you can't walk across the street and do the same kind of deal, let's say, with a competing broadcaster from the perspective of the respective broadcasters. So you get hemmed in. That's small potatoes, man. We need to get over that. If you're going to help, help, right? And don't hold people's feet to the fire on that stuff, because after all, no one broadcaster in this region has a dominant position. I mean, I've been in marketing 40 years in this town. I've done a lot of media buying. Let me tell you something. You got to buy a lot of different stations and a lot of different media to reach a majority of the community, a majority of the population for the metro area. Yeah, that's what it takes. So, you know, let's do ourselves a favor. Let's all just kind of get off our high horse, get over ourselves, get real about really helping, and free up some resource. What do you think? You stay with me. I got more.
Saturday, January 26th at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, the internationally acclaimed Tallahassee Community Chorus presents Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org. Tallahassee Community Chorus Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education and featuring the choirs of Lawton Childs, Leon, Lincoln, and West Orange High Schools, and Bach Middle School of the Arts. Tallahassee Community Chorus, Saturday, January 26th, 7:30 p.m. at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, Florida State University. Thrill to the inspiring songs and combined voices of six choirs and orchestra, featuring the performance of Howard Hanson's Song of Democracy. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Southern Scholarship Foundation has, through its history, provided rent-free housing, cooperative living, and supporting students who lack financial resources, demonstrate excellent academic merit, and exemplify good character while attending institutions of higher education for more than 60 years. SSF has helped students achieve their dreams of attending their choice university through the partnerships they hold with Florida Gulf Coast University, University of Florida, Santa Fe College, Florida State University, Flagler College, all in Tallahassee, Florida A&M University, and Tallahassee Community College. We have with us this morning Sean Wooden. Sean has worked passionately with students and toward their success in higher education for many years. He is president. He began as president and CEO of Southern Scholarship Foundation in July of 2016, and he is our guest this morning. Hello there, my friend.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Dr. Wooden, a pleasure. As well, the very lovely Tanasia, who is, in fact, serving within SSF. She is, in fact, a home... What is this, your position? I'm looking for it here.
It's house manager.
House manager, thank you. I was going for home manager. House manager is more appropriate, yes. She's a full-time student and earning her Bachelor of Science in Accounting and Management Information Systems. Looking forward to pursuing her Master of Accountancy in the spring of 2020. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you with us here. Originally from Quincy, Florida, I understand. So by all accounts, a native of this fine part of the country. and have chosen to remain here as you pursue your education. How did you get involved with SSF?
So that's actually a really good question. When I was in high school, I was a part of a program called Outward Bound. It was through Florida State University.
Outward Bound, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very similar to Southern Scholarship Foundation. It focuses on low-income students. And then over the summers, over the summer, we would stay on FSU's campus as students in high school.
Yes.
And some of us were ninth graders, eighth graders, going into ninth grade. And
there the love affair began.
Yes.
Yes, with Florida State and Tallahassee and all.
Right. And cool. So Southern Scholarship Foundation actually is a partner with Outward Bound.
Ah.
And so they will allow us to stay on the Southern Scholarship Foundation campus, SSF campus, uh-huh. During the summer. So we would stay there for about 6 weeks while we were on FSU's campus.
Very cool.
And so that's how I got involved with SSF.
And here you are today.
Yes.
And serving in this capacity as a house director, right? House manager.
Yes.
Yes, right. I'll get that. Don't worry. I am paying attention. It's just not very bright. Dr. Wooden, how long has Southern Scholarship Foundation been at this particular location? I know you've been in business 60 years.
Right.
But this particular campus, I think, is relatively new, weren't you? Or wasn't there a relocation at some point? Or is this the original?
There was.
Spot?
Yeah. The original house was on West Pensacola Street,
that's
and that house doesn't exist any longer. Ah. It was sold many years ago.
I see.
And over the years, SSF evolved and purchased a number of houses on individual plots.
I gotcha.
Really on the east side of FSU.
I gotcha.
And then over the years, there was a deal that was worked out with Florida State to take a 6.5-acre piece of land on Stadium Drive that was in the hinterlands far away from the campus.
In those days.
Those days, in the late 60s, early 70s. And that was sort of a swap deal with Florida State, where they bought up a lot of the little individual houses and gave that land to Southern Scholarship Foundation. And the first house opened there 44 years ago, so in the mid-70s.
Remarkable, yeah. Which is about the time I arrived at Florida State, 1978, so a bit before that.
Right.
Hard to imagine that much time has gone by us. And you're a young man, so, I mean, come on. You must have joined us when you were, what, 12?
well, not quite, but no. I thank you for that.
But tell me about your focus here, because you've got a remarkable background involved with students in one capacity or the other. I'm reading here from some of these notes. You served as an interim executive director at Community Colleges for International Development. Prior to that, you were a program administrator, a Kenya program administrator for Indiana University. This is something that runs pretty deep in your marrow, I think.
It really does. I'm the first one in my family to have gone to college and graduated. And all of my siblings now have done that. And to me, it was just a tremendous opportunity to make the life that I want for my family.
I see.
And I've just been inspired to be able to work towards giving that opportunity for other people across my career. I have worked with community colleges for many years, creating opportunities for international students to study at community colleges across the country, from Cape Cod to Honolulu.
Yeah.
I also had an opportunity to work with Indiana University in Kenya as a Kenya program administrator. I was on the ground there for 3.5 years, and that was facilitating, really on the business side, administrative side, a program for medical students from the U.S. to come to Kenya for a clinical rotation and for Kenyan students to come to the U.S., so going in both directions.
In that respect, you look back through your family history, your personal history. You hail from this part of the world?
I don't. I was born and raised in upstate New York, near Poughkeepsie and Hyde Park, that area.
And then did your undergraduate work at University of Florida?
I did my undergraduate work in New York at Binghamton University. I did my master's at Illinois State University and my doctorate at University of Florida.
And your PhD is in what area?
Higher Education Administration.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So again, long-term, long-standing commitment to these kinds of issues on behalf of students, and it sounds like a sort of paying it back or paying it forward attitude with you. You look at what was done for you, what opportunities were afforded you. This is your response to that, I suppose. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's very fair. I spent my early childhood living in a trailer park. Until I was about 12 years old or so. And moving out of that, I was lucky. I was raised by a single mother, and my mother found a partner. And through him, we moved out and lived in a more middle-class type of neighborhood. And I looked back on that, and I thought, really, I would not want my family to be raised in that kind of environment. I saw someone in the fifth and sixth grade going into drug rehab, and he was a kid that I played ball with outside. And I saw him doing that, and he was just a year older than me.
Yeah.
And I thought I didn't want to be in that position.
Wow. Folks, we're talking with Dr. Wooden here. He is the CEO president at Southern Scholarship Foundation, and this very lovely individual who is a house manager, Tanisha Higdon. We're going to continue this conversation talking about Southern Scholarship Foundation here in Tallahassee. You stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Dr. Wooden, who is the president and CEO for Southern Scholarship Foundation, an organization for its 60 years helping students achieve their dreams of attending their choice university through the partnerships that this rather unique organization has with a number of institutions of higher learning, we'd say. 27 homes statewide serving 470 students, according to your website here. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. We're in the process of taking down some of our older homes and building a new home.
I would imagine that's sort of the ongoing part of this, isn't it? That you're a housing facility, among other things.
Very true.
But as a house manager, Tanisha, your role is not just changing out the toilet paper and cleaning the windows, right? What do you do as the house manager and kind of like that? What is that all about?
Yes, house manager is a definitely delicate job. You have to make sure when residents are coming in that they're comfortable. One of the things that they're doing is they're moving away from their homes and then being brought into a house of, 17 to 31 strangers. And so you have to make sure that each individual is comfortable. You have to make sure that they are communicating with you about issues that they may be having, especially with that transition. Some of them, like Sean and me, are first generation, low income. And so you just want to make sure that they're taking the challenge of going to school. And they're running with it, and they're going to keep it going. So that's just one of the many things that I do as house manager.
Yeah. Dr. Wooden talked about that, his humble beginnings. Yours similarly. You hail from Quincy, Florida, Gadsden County. You referred to your own family history there, the low-income status.
Right.
Tell me about that.
I grew up in a small neighborhood. Everyone knew everyone. I went to three different schools with the little schools that we do have in Gadsden County. It was just a transition. First generation, low income, single parent home, three siblings, both older than me, so I did have the chance of having my own room for some time. It was the standard, living condition that most students do go through as they are in high school and middle school and elementary. So,
is that part of the motivation for you?
It definitely is. Even outside of Southern Scholarship Foundation, I do a lot of community involvement. one of the things that I look forward to each year is the Big Ben Point in Time count. That's where an organization goes out and they count the number of homeless individuals in the area, and that's just within Big Bend. And so we go around, we give out goodie packages, things like that, and the date is actually coming up for it. And so in that moment, I'm reminded of everything that I've been through and what I can help individuals who are homeless get through as well.
Tell me about that. Where are we with homelessness in North Florida?
Last year, the numbers did decrease from my first year, so I've been doing it for about 2 years now. Last year, the numbers went down a little, but we're definitely starting to see a lot more veterans becoming homeless, and that's something that touches my heart because I have a sister who is now a veteran, and she was homeless. So,
Wow.
I mean, it was just a little small setback for a major comeback. So now she's back in school, getting her master's.
Got her feet on the ground.
Right. She has a beautiful job, something she's really interested in. Cool. She's always wanted to do medicine. So now she's in the hospital doing what she loves, and as well as finishing up her master's.
What is it that students have to get through their heads, I guess, if you have opportunity with them, and I'm certain you do, what do you say?
Well, what I like to do is hear some of their stories and backgrounds and what they've faced in just getting to Florida State or Florida A&M or University of Florida. And to me, that's inspiring. And just to turn it back on them and encourage them that this is a step in their journey. Yeah, yeah. We're here to help them and to help them graduate, and then it's a whole world.
So they're not looking for a pass. They've already figured out, hey, this is up to me.
They've earned the right to be where they are.
To be where they are.
And we're here to help them.
Yeah.
And it is not easy, I should say. Tanasia sort of glossed over living with 17 people, but that's 17 personalities that you need to get along with 24 hours.
I have difficulty living with two people, including my dog. So, I mean, come on.
So it is challenging living within our houses, but it's also a great opportunity to learn about yourself, learn about other people and coming from diverse backgrounds. And that's a part that I like to also talk about with when I'm talking with our current residents or those who have gone through the program over the decades.
Does that occupy a fair amount of your time? Because here you are, if I'm not mistaken, CEO means you get out there and find the money for us,
right,
and bring it back.
Right.
So you have spent a lot of your time at that level, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
doing radio shows with wacky talk show hosts, I get it.
So unfortunately, I don't get as much time as I'd like with our current residents or with alumni to hear those stories and learn of that impact. But it is really crucial to what I do and being able to talk about some of those experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, one day a couple of years ago, I got a letter through the mail, handwritten letter through the postal mail, which doesn't happen much these days. Mm-hmm. And it was from an alum who had been in our program in the early 60s. And he was reflecting on his life as a teacher, as a member, as a person of faith and a leader within his church, about the lessons that he learned in the scholarship house stuck with him and really helped him create that care and compassion for others and give that throughout the course of his career.
Interesting.
And reading that impact,
yeah,
that reflection after so many years had passed, it really just moved me, and it is such a powerful statement.
Wow. Do either of you have a sense of how that is and how those kinds of challenges are, in addition, part of that getting to know other people? I mean, I'm ignorant here, but it seems to me if I'm living like that for any period of time, I can become rather isolated in my own mind. I mean, I'm sort of me against the world, don't get in my face kind of attitude. So is it that, or is it just the opposite? Is it, I'm sort of easy about the way things go because I've never really had any control over that much. Is that, you follow where I'm going with that? It's like, what is it about the circumstances, the lifestyle that has shaped these individuals?
Yeah, I don't have any personal direct experience with that. I had one experience where when I was living in Kenya, I had to leave abruptly with a family of four, myself and my family, and we had to leave with a couple of duffel bags because of political violence in the area.
Yeah.
And our life was unstable for quite a while. We stayed with a friend who was living in Dar es Salaam, the capital of Tanzania, for a week, and then flew back to the States, and we didn't really have a permanent home to call our own. We had a roof over our head, and we had food to eat, and we were taken care of.
I got you.
But it took a while for us to feel that once life settled down again and I was employed and we had a place, to feel that, okay, we were stable again. You know, nothing is going to be pulled away from us abruptly. But so I can just imagine, you know, just taking that and thinking, if this is now day to day or week to week, how people feel not knowing if that roof is going to be there tomorrow.
Right.
Right.
It takes them a while to kind of realize.
It takes a while to feel that, okay, you know, now I am, there will be.
There's a security there.
Right, that there is security.
Yeah. I would imagine that's part of your role then as a house manager, Tanisha, just to say, hey, no, we got you here. You're okay.
Yeah, not only my role, but other residents' role, especially with old residents, residents who are coming in for another year. I'm a part of their responsibility, too, is to make sure that everyone else is comfortable. If I'm the only one who's trying to make sure that everyone is comfortable, then it gets really hard. So one of the things that I reach out to my old residents, I say, hey, can you text the new residents, introduce yourself, let them know how ADK is, some of the things that they can expect when they come into the house, because you want to make sure that when they step foot in the house, they're happy. You don't want them to come in with any doubts in their mind.
You're a facilitator in that respect.
Right, exactly.
Talking with Dr. Wooden here, Sean Wooden, who is the CEO president for Southern Scholarship Foundation, and Tanisha Higdon, who is a house manager for this fine organization. We're learning a lot about them. You stay with me. We've got a little bit more for you. Be right back.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Learning Program today. Or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. childcare.fsu.edu. 850-644-7970.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, we're glad to have you with us, because we're learning a lot about this remarkably rather unique organization. Are there other scholarship foundations like Southern Scholarship around the country? I mean, you guys kind of a brand of one?
Or? Yes, we are a brand of one. I have scoured. I've been looking for peer organizations to learn from, and I've not found any.
They're all looking at you. How do you make that work?
You know, there is a rising awareness now within higher education communities of hunger and housing insecurity.
Right.
And over the past 5 to 10 years, a movement has really formed nationally to start focusing on this. And, of course, the focus is bringing programs to the local level.
Sure.
And there are shelters that have popped up for college students in California and in some communities like Tacoma, Washington. The Housing Authority has formed a partnership with a community college there to provide some housing for families. But we've not found anything that is does any other organization that does what Southern Scholarship does.
How do we talk to the kids, the people, who yet haven't made that decision? Maybe they have yet to realize, hey, you can do this, right? So I guess my question is, does Southern Scholarship Foundation try to reach down into some of those other grade levels, connections with high schools, even middle schools, to say, we're here, you know, we've got an opportunity for you?
Yeah, we do. We have a big effort to get out the word across the state. And 90% of our residents come from within Florida. Our application deadline is April 1st. But what we do is we will call and email every guidance counselor in every high school in the state of Florida. We also have nearly 9,000 people have gone through the program, and many of them are in education. So they will personally reach out using old-fashioned word of mouth and getting the word out. And we have partnerships with Take Stock in Children, which is a middle school and high school mentoring program that's statewide within Florida, as well as other partners to help us reach out and find those individuals who think who they think would fit well within our houses, and of course attend the institutions where we do have facilities.
You know, it's remarkable to me, 60 years that this organization has been laboring to do this work. And to date, we serve 470 students. We have 27 homes in operation.
Correct.
I mean, what's the holdup? Why do we not see this on every campus? Why do we not see 100 homes or thousands of students being served? I can't imagine any other organization with 60 years of history being confined to those kinds of numbers. What's the holdup, man?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that go into that.
We got to fix this. I'm here.
One of them is funding and fundraising. So as an organization, Southern Scholarship has never received public funding. We don't receive anything from the state or anything from the federal government. So it's all private funds that support what we do. We grow, we add new houses like we're doing in Tallahassee on Jefferson Street. Occasionally, this house is a gift from someone who went through the program in the 60s, passed away early last year, and left the bulk of his estate, nearly $4 million, to Southern Scholarship Foundation. Wow. We're using that gift for that new house, for other infrastructure upgrades here in North Florida, as well as part of the estate to be used at Fort Myers. He was a Seminole to the end, which means that he was not let me spend a dime in Gainesville, which is fine. Well, he's still leaving a great legacy behind. Indeed. But it's really funding, and building a house is an expensive endeavor. Indeed. Every year it gets more and more.
Indeed. And maintenance.
And right. maintenance, yeah. You know, as well as integration and the understanding from institutions about what we do and how we do it. And we have great partnerships with FAMU, with UF, and with Florida Gulf Coast. We lease land on those campuses for some of our houses.
So you're paying out that way in order to have the land available. So there's an additional cost.
Well, the land through those partnerships is nominal. It's $1 a year for 30 years. But it's the willingness of the administrators
to do such
to offer that land and say, okay, we're going to designate this land for that purpose, and that's a huge commitment.
So do you have like a team, a staff of like 100 people that work with you, so you can just scour around the Southeast campaigning on, or how does this work?
I sure wish I had a staff that large. I have a wonderful staff of 10 full-time individuals, as well as some part-time staff.
I see.
We need to keep the foundation going year to year and do fundraising to make sure that we're able to support our residents, as well as additional fundraising for any capital needs that are coming up. And there's with 25, 26, 27 houses, there's always a roof that needs to be repaired, plumbing that needs to be fixed. So we're always looking at how do we invest in our current facilities to make sure they remain safe homes.
Tanisa is over here nodding. I get the sense that you fixed a few toilets along the way too.
That's funny because I actually just came in the office to get the plunger.
Wow. See there? Folks, this is an organization that helps us reassess, I think, at a number of levels, what is really important. Okay, I mean, we've done our very best here in the last 45 minutes to try to bring you a sense of the devotion that these two people and all of those who work with them, their board, their staff members, toward a very simple goal. But that goal is atomic in its implications. It brings a kind of power when you've revolutionized somebody's life. Somebody like Sean Wooden, who sits here with us this morning, Tanasia, who comes to us from an impoverished lifestyle out of Gaston County. No quit in you.
I can
tell. Trust me when I say, you look into her eyes, my friend, and you're going to see a tenacious individual who's determined to help other people achieve what she has achieved for herself. Seems to me, Sean, we ought to roll up our sleeves, figure out a way to get involved. Yeah, and I know you're pulling down that massive annual salary, right? Just because it's...
That massive nonprofit salary, yeah, that's right.
There's so much money involved that's clearly not your motivation, as it is for a lot of nonprofits, of course. But I think in this case, it seems to me we need to accelerate the growth. We 60 years is enough for a startup. Let's move into this next 10 years and see if we can get you down the road a little further.
I certainly agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, folks, this is what we do here, talking with this wonderful example, talking with the people who make this opportunity available to so many people, to us, for our community, for our time. Dr. Sean Wooden, who is the president CEO of Southern Scholarship Foundation. And he is lovely in his own way, absolutely. And the rather astute and tenacious Tanisha Higdon, who is a house manager there for SSF. Folks, thanks for being our guest this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Well done. Stay in touch with us. Folks, you stay in touch with me. I've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Alcom Marketing and Entertainment, right here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio. You'll find us online at moosemagnificat.com, playing all of Tallahassee's local musicians, their original songs. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me. Mardi Gras is March 5th, and Tasty Pastry Bakery is busy baking up their famous New Orleans king cakes just for you. This traditional cake is a coffee cake formed in an oval ring and decorated with brightly colored sugar, purple, green, and gold, to signify justice, faith, and wealth. Baked into each cake, a tiny plastic infant signifies Christ the King. When the cake is sliced, whoever gets the plastic infant in their piece of cake is named King for a day and is supposed to bring a king cake next year. Choose from an assortment of fillings: apple, cherry, blueberry, pineapple, raspberry, strawberry, or cream cheese. Get yours today. Tasty Pastry Bakery, in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Online at tastypastrybakery.com.
Granny would approve your good old-fashioned bakery. Remember Tasty Pastry.
Call 893-3752.